Christmas carols. There's just something about that. Everyone has their favorites, don't they? And, you know, maybe because of this crazy North Carolina weather, you've been singing along with Bing Crosby lately. Maybe you've been singing a little, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Or perhaps you're missing someone a little special this Christmas, and you've been humming along with Elvis. I'll have a blue Christmas without you. One thing's for sure, whether it's going to be a white one or a blue one, we're going to be hearing a lot of Christmas music this time of the year. Have you ever figured that out? I mean, can you understand why everywhere you go, they're playing the same music? I mean, whether it's Walmart or WRAL, Food Lion to Fugees, they're all playing the same music this time of the year. There's no other time of the year like this. Radio stations, retail stores, restaurants, they're all playing Christmas music. There's just something about Christmas that makes people want to sing. When did this all start? Well, a little over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. An angelic choir appeared and sang a command performance to a small audience of shepherds outside the town of Bethlehem. And faithful followers of Jesus have been singing about Christmas ever since. Faithful followers. That reminds me of a Christmas carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. You know that song, right? That Christmas carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. It invites people who believe in Jesus to come and worship Him, to adore Him. It was a carol that was written in the 1800s, originally in the Latin. Adeste Fideles was the title, translated into English in 1841. It's a theologically rich Christmas carol. At our church over the past couple of weeks, we've been considering some different Christmas carols. We've talked about O Come Emmanuel, clearly taken from the Gospel of Matthew about the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God with us. And then we've talked about O Holy Night, a beautiful Christmas carol, clearly from the book of Luke, where he talks about the birth of Jesus. But this carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, it comes from the book of John, the Gospel of John. Just consider the climactic final verse of the carol. It goes like this. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. What unusual phraseology, this idea of word of the Father in the flesh. This comes from the Gospel of John. This is how John begins his Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word. When John wrote, originally he wrote in the Greek language. He says, in the beginning was the Logos. That's what we translate word. That was a word rich with meaning during the time he wrote, both for the Greek and the Jew. The Greek Stoic philosophers used the word logos to describe the divine, generative, and animating principle of the universe. The Jews looked at it, the Jewish theologians looked at it, and they saw that it was the way that God spoke the logos. He spoke the world into existence. He said, let there be. And there was. John is clearly saying that Jesus is God. There never was a time when Christ was not. When he was born a baby, he had always existed, but beginning at that moment, he took on human flesh. Now, John's saying even more than that. Not only was Christ present at creation, but because he uses that familiar beginning, in the beginning, which we get from the beginning of the Bible. Just open your Bibles to page 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See how John takes up that? He's saying that the Logos was in the beginning at the moment of creation. And to make it even more clear, not only was Christ present in creation, but he was part of the process. He is the creator God. Here's what he says in verse 3 of his gospel. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So Christ is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He is the creator, God of very God. Now, when God made the world, he looked at it, and do you remember what he said? He said, it's good. I've done good here. You know what we should do? He says, we should make mankind. Here's what the scripture says. He says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God made man in his own image. And he said, the world's good, and I've made you. So what went wrong? What went wrong? What happened to God's good world, and what happened to the image of God in mankind? Something went wrong. I mean, why is the world such a mess? For that matter, why are we such a mess? It all comes back to this. When God created Adam and Eve, he lovingly placed them into the Garden of Eden, providing all of their need and giving them authority over all things. And then he said, I'm going to give you freedom of will to choose to follow me and love me or to choose your own way. This was a dangerous freedom that he gave them. But how else? If he had built robots to love him, this wouldn't be true love. He built people who could choose to love him or not. Well, we know the story. He gave them everything but one tree. So just don't eat of that one tree, okay? That's it. That's your only rule. Well, they were tempted and they fell. And this thing called sin was introduced into the human race. This idea of sin. Here's what sin really is. It's choosing my way rather than God's way. It's choosing the wrong way rather than the right way. And so this sin infected the whole human race. We all caught the disease. The Bible says, for all have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What's the fallout? What's the fallout of this sin? Remember what God warned Adam and Eve? If you do eat of this tree, you'll die. You'll introduce death. That's the consequence. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So death entered into this perfect world, and it's now broken. Creation and humanity broken. Spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, morally, we're broke. Just look at the world. Look at the disease, the hunger, the natural disasters, the war, the terrorism. What happened to God's good world? What happened to the image of God in mankind? It's broken, fallen. What do we do? Is there any hope? I'm glad that when God made Adam and Eve and he moved them out of the garden because of their sin, he left them with a promise. He gave them a promise of hope and of rescue. He said, someday one of your very own descendants will be born Savior of the world, and he will rescue you from your sins. And then if you read the Old Testament, throughout the centuries, it was all preparation for this Savior of the world to come. In fact, the Old Testament is filled with exact details of who he would be and when he would be born and how he would live and how he would die and how he would be. All these details. Details like found in the book of Micah, the prophet Micah, 700 years before Christ's birth, predicted what town he would be born in. Who here got a vote on that? Did you get to vote? Hey, Mom, could you let me be born in Wilson or wherever you were born? I don't think. No, 700 years before, Micah said, Bethlehem, out of you shall come forth to me, one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Christ was born just in the very place that God had planned. See, God kept his promise to us. He kept his promise to Adam and Eve centuries ago. He sent a Savior born to man. Here's what it says in John's Gospel, the climax of his first chapter. The Word became flesh. The Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. We have beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what Christmas means. God became flesh. God kept his promise. He kept his plan. He had a plan for us, and he kept it. You see, the cradle always pointed to the cross. This baby came to die. He came to be a sacrifice. Christmas points to Easter, the empty tomb. So this Jesus, he kept God's plan. He was miraculously born to the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He lived a unique life, sinless, fulfilling all that God required of him. He went to the cross willingly and died in our place. He defeated the grave and was resurrected 3 days later. He kept God's promise. Here's what the scripture says. Jesus gave his life for our sins just as God our Father planned. It was always God's plan in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. You know that story, though, right? We're all Americans here. The gospel's going out on the radio, on the internet, in churches around the nation. We all know the story of Christmas and Easter. We know the story. That's not enough, though, is it? We all have a response to this story. Remember the carol, "O Come, All Ye Faithful"? It's an invitation to come, engage the story, enter into the story. Let the story become your story. Let the life of Christ intersect your life. Have you done that? What does it mean to be faithful? It means to be a good person, to go to church, to... No, that's not what it means. It means that you believe in Jesus. Here's what he said, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Do you believe? And not just passively, not just, yeah, I believe that. Not just like that, but committing your whole life to it, receiving this gift. As John said, "To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, so that we that are far from God can now be brought near and call him Father." Have you come? Are you among the faithful? Oh, come, all you faithful. Jesus says, "Come, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you had a rescue plan. And thank you that you sent him. And Lord, I just pray right now for that person that might be here this morning that's far from you, that needs a Savior, that needs Jesus. If that's you, my friend, right where you are, you can express your faith. You can become one of the faithful by expressing your faith through prayer, believing it in your heart and saying it with your mouth. You might pray a prayer like this along with me right now in your seat. "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes. I'm far from you today. But would you bring me near? I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he was raised from the grave, and that he lives today. I believe that. And now I receive him as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Make me one of the faithful. In Jesus' name, amen."